Today, we hear the following words from the mouth of God Himself. Beware of false prophets. There were false prophets during the time of the Old Testament. And our Lord Jesus Christ wanted to make us aware that there would be false prophets also in the time of the New Testament. From the beginning of Christianity, the church had to fight against false teachings, which we call heresy. Already at the time of the apostles, some started teaching things which were against the teachings of Christ. St. John the Apostle himself had to write against the Gnostic heresy, which denied that the Lord Jesus Christ had a true body made of flesh, capable of suffering and dying. So we see heresies already at the time of the apostles. And after the time of the apostles, heretics didn't stop popping up. Sabellius, Arius, Macedonius, Nestorius, Eutyches, only to name the most infamous of them. But an important detail to keep in mind about these men is that they were not simply lay people who happened to have wrong theological ideas about certain things. No. But these men were priests. They were bishops. They were members of the hierarchy of the church. And yet, they showed themselves to be false prophets, false shepherds, leading souls away from God. So it is important for us to understand that heresies were, are, and will be a constant trial in the life of the church. The church here below will always be in battle. But when we look at all the heresies that the church had to face in these 2,000 years, I think we can say that among the most devastating ones, we have that of a German priest called Martin Luther. And it is one of the worst heresies because its harmful effects can still be felt today, not only outside, but even inside the church. The Protestant heresy was and is a compilation of many errors based on Luther's own ideas. Here we have the five main points. First of all, Luther rejected tradition. Second, he denied that the Mass was a true sacrifice offered to God. And then he made his liturgy to look more like a meal. Third, he didn't believe in transubstantiation. Fourth, he refused the intercession of Mary and the saints. And fifth, he denied that the practice of good works is necessary for salvation. Now, some will say that Luther simply wanted to correct certain things that he saw as wrong in the church at his time. But the truth is that his so-called reform intended to reshape the whole of religion, creating in this way a new religion, which was in fact the religion of Luther, and not anymore the religion of Christ. He ended up by making his own church. And once he broke off from the authority of the Catholic Church, there was no more way to keep things together. His division led to more divisions, to the point that nowadays there are more than 50,000 different Protestant denominations. 50,000. And each one of them have their own truth. And all of that because of Luther. Luther was asked by the Pope to retract his errors, something he didn't want to do. So he was excommunicated. And afterwards, the Council of Trent was convoked in order to rebuke the errors of Luther and to reaffirm the apostolic teachings of the Church. And in this way, the Lutheran heresy was ejected from the Church of God forever. So it seemed. My brethren, it would be bad enough for us to see the false teachings of Luther being perpetuated in the Protestant sects. It would be bad enough to know that many souls outside of the church still follow this false prophet. That would be bad enough. But what is far worse is to be able to smell the stench of Luther inside the Catholic Church. To be more exact, it was right after Vatican II that the ideas of Luther started to come back, pushing for a rupture with the past. Who here has not heard about the new Catholicism that some wanted to create after the Council? The rejection of tradition. The idea that the Mass is only a fraternal meal and not a sacrifice offered to God. The disbelief in the mystery of the Holy Eucharist. The refusal to honor Our Lady and the saints. And the idea that salvation does not require efforts. The strange idea that mercy does not require repentance. It sounds familiar, right? My brethren, the so-called new Catholicism is Protestant and not Catholic. I don't have better words to put it, but these new Catholics are Protestant Catholics, if we can use this expression. You know what I mean. They profess to be Catholics, but they are in fact Protestants by what they believe. What a tragedy. Luther's heresy is still alive today. And not only outside, but even inside the church. But now, it is worse than before. Because now it disguises itself. It presents itself as Catholic doctrine. Something it's not. Like in the times past, we see today many priests and bishops who do not seem to hold the true faith anymore. They sound more Lutheran than Catholic. And I don't know how long this crisis will last. But what I know is that we have to be vigilant, not to allow ourselves to be deceived by the false prophets that are inside the walls of the city of God. So we have to know our faith, to study our faith, not allow ourselves to be led astray. Yes, my brethren, faith is also a virtue to be kept amidst many dangers and temptations. We also need to fight to keep our faith intact. So we should not be shocked when we see heresies springing up here and there. This is expected. There will always be false prophets. There will always be heresies. But we have to be vigilant in order to reject heresy and to hold fast to the perennial faith of the church, to hold fast to the faith of the apostles, to the faith that is the true faith, without which we cannot please God. So, my brethren, let us be willing to pay the price, to pay the price, to keep our Catholic faith. Let us be willing to pay the price, because heaven is the reward. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.